Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello, and welcome to Blizzard Watch, the podcast where we watch Blizzard. I don't have more for you than that. That's what we do. I'm your host, Matt Rossi, and with me this week are two stealthy co-hosts who like to be rogues all the time and just hide from things and then stab them from behind when they're not looking. It's what they do. Just try not to turn your back on them because they'll stab you. First up, he stabs people, Alex Zebart.
I didn't really want that to be public information. It kind of makes my stabbing people job much harder.
Yes.
But that's okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Hi. So you were telling us about Valeria and the various skins, so you should probably tell that again because so people who, you know, can hear it, because I thought that was interesting. Just the
What about her skins? That they exist? That they're
you
cool?
You bought them. Like, tell people what you picked up.
I bought the Demon Hunter Valeria skin for $10 because it was awesome enough for me to give them $10. I don't give Heroes of the Storm. I mean, it's free to play, so if there's something I actually really want, I don't feel bad buying it. That makes the game possible, and it was a really cool skin, so I bought it. And Valeria is much harder to play than I expected her to be.
Okay. Also, this week, she's finally settled down to playing her rogue after, like, going through... How many alts did you play before this? Like, at least three?
One, two, three. There was a fourth one that I was playing for a little bit, but I shelved it for the time being.
Okay. So it's basically you've played your shaman, I know you played your druid, and I know you play a hunter on the leveling stream.
Shaman, druid, hunter, and then another druid that was on the other faction, and then also there was a monk that I was playing for a little while.
Okay.
And then that was the one that I kind of shelved. Well, them and the alternate druid. I have way too many characters.
I've honestly found playing more than two really hard this expansion. Like, I have four level 110s, but I can't play half of them.
Right. Well, and the thing is like, it's not the leveling process, because that's darn easy. That's the part that I enjoy, is the leveling bit, because I have yet to grow tired of Legion leveling. I think the only zone that I'm kind of on right now is, well, no, there's two of them, High Mountain and Stormheim. And the only reason that I'm kind of on both of them right now is just because the having to go up and down hills and around places is kind of frustrating, especially if you die. Because I don't know who programmed the graveyard spawn system in Legion, but it is so messed up.
Well, here's the
trick. I think
trick.
It's time right now to just let it, so when you're dead, you can fly.
Yeah.
Just let me fly to my freaking corpse.
I can do that in Suramar. Like, there's sections of Suramar where if you die in Suramar, you can fly back to your corpse, which is great. But I'm like, Suramar's a flat city. Why can't I do this in High Mountain? It's a mountain.
Well, the only parts of Suramar City you can fly in are the ones that, like, you do have to go up and down.
Right.
Like, around the zoo and stuff, which is kind of irritating. But the trick is to not die.
Yeah. And that's a good trick and everything. But, like, I know that I took my rogue. I was going down to activate one of the ley line things underground. And so I was in this catacomb. And I had to go through a gauntlet, and I died in the gauntlet. And when I got up at the graveyard was at the very top of the mountain, probably directly above where the catacomb was at. But in order to get back to the catacomb, I had to run around the map. And as I was running around the map, I ran into two other graveyards that were closer to where my body was, including one right next to the entrance of the catacomb. I'm like, this is not helpful. There is nothing about this that is helpful.
Yeah, it's funny. It's really the exact opposites in that you don't like Stormheim and High Mountain.
Yeah.
Those are my favorites. I am so tired of Azuna and Vel'Shaerah.
See, I like Azuna and I like Vel'Shaerah, but then I like all of the elfy stuff, so, you know, maybe that's just me.
I'm pretty down for the elfing.
It's like the same with the Azuna. Like, the central Azuna questing, I think, is okay, and then everything around it is just dreadful.
The ship arena place, I think I've done that like on maybe two of my characters, and the other ones just kind of skipped it and went to the good stuff.
The ship arena sucks. The pirate area sucks. The vineyard sucks.
I like the vineyard.
Yeah, the vineyard is fine.
The vineyard is fun.
It's also short. It takes very little time to do the vineyard. Doing the ledge, the Illidari perch.
Oh, yeah, that one's kind of...
That place also sucks.
But I still think I like Azuna and I like... Vel'Shaerah better than I like High Mountain. I like Stormheim because I can deal with Stormheim's level of hillishness.
Right.
Like but High Mountain, it's just, you know, go this way, but you can't go that way because there's a mountain in the way. So you go this way, but you can't go that way either. You have to go this way. It's like, it's faster for me to go to Witchwood and ride down to get to some places than it is to just go to them.
Yeah.
Even though they're right next to Thunder Totem, it's faster to fly to Witchwood and ride through the tunnel. It's like, this is absurd. It is poorly done.
That
is
fascinating to me because I've genuinely never had that problem.
Yeah, I just get...
You tell me a lot of times about problems you don't have.
Yeah,
I get frustrated with the altitude. I'm frustrated with the various... And on the one hand, I appreciate it because the game has been flat for so long. I mean, how bored did I get leveling my umpteenth millionth character through the Barrens, which is nothing but flat open spaces. But at the same time... I think the main issue with me is just, like I said, when you die, where your ghost spawns at in relation to where your body is at, is it never really seems to be in the most convenient location. And I don't know. We need to just be able to fly when we're dead. Can we do that? Can we do that, Blizzard? Can you just like activate that? Like tie it into... I mean, I think it's something that should have been default when Legion came out, but I know a couple of weekends ago in the queue, somebody said, hey, do you think that maybe should have been tied to Pathfinder Part 1? And I'm like, yes. Yes, that would be a good use. That would be a good reward for Pathfinder Part 1. I don't think that it should be a reward. I think it should be by default, but just retroactively tack it on there where if you've got Pathfinder Part 1, you can fly to wherever your dead body is. Please.
Well, all I know is this. I'll say this much about like the whole height thing and why it annoys me and so forth. You guys all had the Water Strider mount.
Yes.
And I didn't because I hate it.
It's
just ugly. But here's the thing. Because of the way that High Mountain's laid out, it is imperative that you have a Water Strider mount. Because if you don't, trying to do various world quests becomes 50 times harder. And it shouldn't be to the point where you're like, oh, God, which character did I do Pandaria on? Okay, I got to get on that character and see if I can go out and buy the mount. I can, great. Unfortunately, he's on a different server, so I need to borrow gold from a friend of mine on that server so I can buy this mount.
What?
Just so I can do world quests.
What do you need that mount for?
Trying to do the Falcosaur quests when you're trying to get down from High Mountain, which is the closest flight point, but is literally a mountain and a half away. The only way to get there in any kind of reasonable amount of time without riding through literally everything in Vel'Shaerah to do it is to get on a water mount. That's just one of many. I could literally, there's the stupid Murloc quests, there's the Kirintor quest down the coast, there's other quests in the harbor, the Helia quest, that Stormheim has this too.
The one I would agree with is the Falcosaurs on like the northern shore of Vel'Shaerah or whatever, like that's in such a weird place.
But anytime if you're trying to do the Helia Jar quests, a lot of those are in like weird places where your options are to either fly to a flight point and then ride across the water, or fly to a flight point, ride back up, and then jump off of a cliff and use a glider to get down.
I just use a flight point on the coast, or I fly to Prepfoot, use the kite the game gives you in this expansion, and just fly down to the water from Prepfoot.
I don't have any such expansion, any such kite.
Well, you should get it, because all the pieces for it are in High Mountain, and it gives you a goblin glider.
basically fly around through High Mountain, do more quests I don't want to do in a zone I don't want to do to get this thing, which is basically the same as that stupid water mount. It's something I don't want to do, but you're telling me I have to do it just so I don't have to pull my own hair out of frustration. No.
It's not a quest. It's just you go find the items and then put them together.
I mean, when they give you the tool to navigate within the expansion, just saying, oh, I don't have the tool. Like, well, I mean, it's free for everyone. It's a free
guide. So welcome to the introduction of our show. We're all grouchy, apparently.
I'm just saying, I like one of the things I like about, for instance, Stormheim is that it tends to give you a way to get down to these places without having to, say, spend half an hour building a kite. So, yeah, Stormheim is a better zone, in my opinion, than Heimdall.
I don't know. If that's your opinion, that's fine. It just seems like, I mean, the way that High Mountain gives you is that glider, much like Stormheim gives you the grapple.
That's right. It doesn't even matter. I have gliders in my bags, so I don't have to build a kite. I still don't like having to go to Prepfoot and jump off and use a glider. Because here's the thing, and I don't like to bring it up too much, but I am going blind. So it is, anytime I don't have to do stuff like that, I'm thrilled. It's just nicer for me. I don't like it. There you go. That's going to be it. Don't like High Mountain.
Zuna, however, is boring.
I like Zuna better, but then again, I like their world quests better. High Mountain has good world quests, so I will give High Mountain credit on that one. I've gotten a lot of gear upgrades from High Mountain.
Yeah, the problem with I've been reading chat while I've been going, like, well, the pirate places and so forth are optional. That's true. And when I level a new character, I don't do any of that stuff on that character. Like, I don't want to do the pirate stuff, whatever. But then you hit max level and you get to world quests, and it's like, oh, today's the Azuna emissary. Oh, there's like 4 world quests by the pirates, and that place sucks. So I'll just not do the emissary today.
Well, that doesn't happen. I do the emissary. No.
I think the only things that I deliberately skip world quest wise, we've talked to death, is just the like the wind stuff. I don't want to do it. Sorry, don't want to do it. Not interested. Yeah, the rest of it, sure, I'll make it. I'll take a stab at it. But the like the wind, no.
Yeah, I totally defended the Kirin Tor world quests, like the first round of them when it was like the floaty ball and like the little path on the ground. Like, I was totally okay with those. And they added that like second batch, and I don't want to do them.
I'm going to move on to the news for a second because I want to tie it into what we're just talking about. Mm-hmm. One of the things like this week's news, one of the things that happened last week was that the patch 7.2 PTR went live. And I've been on it, and one of the things they've put in is the Legion Assaults, which are basically like the Demon Invasion 2.0 for 7.2 that tie into the whole Broken Shore stuff. And one of the things I found fascinating was when a zone gets taken over by the Legion, when the Legion Assault happens in a zone, the Kirin Tor continue to offer their quests as if nothing was happening. Like the wind is still off, there's demons everywhere, but if you want to jump around in the air, we still got
there's demons everywhere. Can you tell which barrel I've marked?
No, seriously, yeah, that is the case. I rode by and I think it was like the wind was going. He's still there offering it. Meanwhile, I'm literally 20 yards away tanking a pit lord.
That's kind of the other thing that got me about those other Kirin Tor quests. Like, I haven't even read what they say about like the wind. I don't understand the purpose of it. But like the first ones, there's this puzzle. We have to figure out this enigma box. Like, okay, they justified it. And like, oh, we were investigating this anomaly, so fly through these weird bubbles. Like, okay, they justified it. And then I walk up to this guy in Surmark. He's like, let's play a game. I'm just like, excuse me? The world is ending. He's like, yep, let's play the cup game.
The world is ending, and we've been doing a lot of drinking, so this is how we're going to amuse ourselves today. Would you like to play and drink?
We're going to play the buddy, cup game. I don't have time to play your dumb cup game. I'm out.
But the Legion Assault is actually really fascinating. There's lots of stuff going on in the PTR. They've made significant changes to Transmog, for instance. You can actually look up sets, which I've done. They're not all in yet.
Now, is it just what I want to know is, are they just doing tier sets? Is that what it is? Or are they going to put in all of the green sets too?
Right now, it's just tier sets, and it's not all the tier sets either. Okay. It's, when I say it's just tier sets, it's not just tier sets. It's also PvP sets.
Well, yeah, that's also tier.
Well, there's PvP sets, there's dungeon and raid tier sets, and they're not all in yet, because my character, I was looking for stuff and it wasn't there, but they're...
It was their initial build. They're actually releasing a new build, I think, today.
Yeah, no, I wasn't expecting it would have it all done, but it's in. It's interesting to see it. It tells you, what pieces you have or don't have. Okay. It's kind of hard to test, because if you don't actually have the pieces in your inventory anymore, if you don't have them in void storage or bank or anything, when you transfer a character to the PTR, they're wiped.
Oh, so your wardrobe isn't really...
It's not at full. I'm paranoid, and I kept a bunch of stuff.
Okay. All right.
I have one character that I deliberately kept as many weapons and as much armor as I thought I could handle keeping. So I still had 5 pages of stuff to look at for like one of my, like, for helmets and stuff, but it's not like it should be. On live, I think I have 4.
I think, did they change the initial interface for, like, the wardrobe, or is it just...
It's still mostly the same. It's just that they've added some
stuff.
There's
an additional option there to look up by tier set.
There's one thing that actually you can click on it called sets, and it looks at whatever sets you have.
Oh, okay.
Like, if you have a set in your bags, it tells you this is the set you have in your bags.
Does it tell you where to get the pieces that you're missing?
Yeah, but since it was the battle gear for, like, you know, your class hoarder, mm-hmm. it wasn't very helpful.
Okay.
It just told me to go to my class hall. And
stuff. Okay. All right. Well, still, it sounds like it could be a useful tool because, quite frankly, I hate having to remember the names of tier sets.
Or, for that matter, when there's pieces that go with a tier set but aren't actually part of it.
Right. A lot of the stuff that I look at on WoWhead primarily, because WoWhead's got quite the database going. I don't know if you noticed or not. Anyway, I'll look up a tier on WoWhead, and then I'll go look at the actual set itself and see where the lookalike pieces drop.
Yeah, that's usually what I do when I recently assembled the Paladin set from Mists that way.
Yeah, because if the tier pants don't drop or whatever, but there's a lookalike in another raid somewhere else that I haven't farmed yet, well, then I want to go farm that raid. So,
if anybody is listening to this podcast in their car, I want to apologize for the police sirens.
I was wondering what that was, if that was you or Rossi.
It wasn't me, but don't worry, listener. You're not getting pulled over right now.
Oh,
don't panic.
Well, it wasn't me because I'm nowhere near civilization, so...
I can't really help the fact that there are police sirens in my neighborhood.
I'm just letting any drivers know you're good.
Ordinarily, I have push-to-talk, guys, but today I can't. For some reason, it's not picking it up, so I apologize. But yeah, so they've got that going. They've got the Legion assaults going. I haven't actually got a chance to do the Broken Shore, but I did notice this much. They've advanced the storyline. Like, time has passed.
Yes.
7.2 is in the future from current stuff.
Yes.
One of the things that happened to me, I went back to the Warrior Class Hall, Odin's like, come speak to me as soon as you get here. And I was like, oh God, what does he want now? And I go
there.
You
have to prove yourself.
No, when I get there, he's telling me about how he starts talking. He didn't offer me any quests or anything, which I think is weird because he starts a dialogue box. I get the box, and he's like, now that I'm free, I may go back and reclaim what is mine. And you're
that
like,
sounds
oh,
terrible.
God, what are you going to do? Are you going to declare war on Alderaar? What's going to happen? But all I know is storyline stuff is moving forward. So
okay, well, that's cool.
Also, there was like a lot of... When I was doing Legion Assaults, you know how when you get... You do like a various world quests, and you say you're doing Warden's world quests, and the Warden pops up and talks to you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're doing like the emissary quest, then it's like in Azuna it would be Ferrandis. If you're in Stormheim, it's usually Odin. Somebody pops up and talks to you and tells you do this quest. Instead of those guys, it was Maia of Shadowsong and Illidan telling me what to do.
Interesting.
That has to be like two of the grouchiest people giving you orders ever.
Well, more to the point, can you imagine like if the two of them are like, are they working together? What does that meeting like?
That must have been awkward.
Yes. I was not prepared for how awkward this is.
And then they kiss. No, they don't.
No, I don't. maybe you've redefined kissing since the last time I did it, but that stabbing with the round spinning edge thing is not kissing. Am I? No, it's you get like Maiev's the one who tells you, you know, there is a demon nearby that must be destroyed. And so you go and destroy it because, you know, I'm not going to argue with her. But yeah, so that's it's still very familiar. It's still very much world questing. It doesn't feel different. It lacks the outright, oh God, I'm going to die of the actual invasion. Like, remember when the invasion bosses were super hard? Like, you kind of had to almost zerg them down.
Yeah. They're a little too hard.
Yeah. This is not that. These quests are harder than your stock world quests. Like, I was like doing it in about 865, 870 gear, and I was feeling it. Like, I had to work to do it. At one point, I went prot because it was just easier. But they're not undoable. It doesn't, like, if you're gearing your character through world quests, these are accomplishable. You don't have to have raid gear or mythic dungeon gear or anything to do this. If you've been gearing through world quests, you'll be okay doing this. But that being said, there definitely is an element that they're a step up from current world quests. They're actually harder. So I don't know. I think it'll give people new stuff to do. It changes up the zone pretty radically. There's a quest that you get when you land in a zone that says basically do everything and you get a reward. So overall, they're pretty cool. I think people will enjoy them. But there's some stuff that needs to be straightened out. Like they don't do spawns nearly fast enough. Like there are 25 people standing around waiting for a demon to respawn, and that demon doesn't respawn for 5 to 7 to 10 minutes. That's kind of ridiculous. That demon needs to come back. And some of the quests are a little weird and jokey. Like there's one quest where you and a Murloc demon hunter named I forget its name.
Lilodon?
No, it's not named Lilodon. It was like Margulir or something. But
oh, okay. Because I was going to say Lilodon is a pet battle boss.
Yeah, it uses that character model.
It's the Lilodon model. Just he's riding on a Felsaber and he rides with you into battle. And he's constantly, his head pops up when you start the quest. And of course, he just goes. And then you go and you kill a bunch of Burning Legion guys who are trying to convert the Murlocs. I don't think even they know why. And then when you're done, he goes, rah, 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 and the quest ends. So it's kind of fun, but at the same time, it's kind of like, what? What just happened? Did I, a pet battle guy, just do that? I guess back to tanking demons, I guess. So, yeah.
It's like all the quests you did with Murky in the old world quests. Like, there's a Murky thing in every single zone.
Yeah,
it's similar. Guys have done the quest in Azuna, right?
Yeah.
You know the one I'm talking about, right?
If you're talking about a Murky quest, then yes.
No, it's not Murky. You run into a Murloc who you need help. Or wait, was he a Murloc? I think he was a Murloc.
You're talking about the one in Suramar?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Off the coast?
Yeah, in
Suramar. And you had to help him out?
I haven't done the Suramar one, though.
Oh, okay. No, you got to go do that one, because it's pretty bizarre. Great. It's pretty great.
Well, now that we've talked about that a bit, there's a lot more to 7.2, but they haven't tested it yet, so you can't really tell you much about it. Like, there's new gear and so forth. If you get a chance, you should go look at the looks. Some of them are really great. The new dungeon, there's a new 5-man dungeon, and I can't speak for all the gear coming out of it. Like, some people didn't like the leather, but the plate set, if they release the plate set in all these colors, I will be thrilled, because it has a plate set with 4 colors. It's got gold, blue, red, and green. And they're all good. Like, it's not a bad green. It's not the kind of green where you're looking and go, oh, God, I can't believe this gear is that color. It's, like, actually a nice, solid green color. So that stuff's really nice, too. There's a lot of good stuff, sets here and so forth. But we should probably talk about other stuff, because a lot of other stuff's going on this week. You guys were talking about it a little bit in the pre-show, but I figure we should just mention it now. Both Overwatch and Heroes of the Storm have the Lunar Festival thing happening.
Yes.
I don't know anything about Overwatch. I don't play it. I just watch the lore stuff.
Overwatch is, because Overwatch takes place on Earth, they're not going with the Lunar Festival thing that kind of like Blizzard Games have established.
It's the Lunar New Year.
It's straight up Chinese New Year. It's Year of the Rooster.
Yeah.
And it's lots of new skins and a Capture the Flag game mode. They're calling Capture the Rooster because reasons.
There's a rooster on the flag.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a Capture the Flag. It's Capture the Flag. And I am delighted about this, because I remember when they initially were talking about Overwatch and talking about the different game modes, they said that they probably weren't going to do a Capture the Flag because they couldn't figure out, like, there wasn't a way to make it work with all of the heroes or something like that. I don't remember. I remember is they said, nah, we're not going to do Capture the Flag. Well, now we've got Capture the Flag. And
yeah, I mean, they've still said, Kaplan said, it's not the most balancing in the world, so we're not adding it to, like, competitive play.
Yeah, but it's not going into competitive play, but after the event is over, it will be added to the arcade mode, so you can go back and play it if you want to.
Yeah, so it'll be an option in the arcade, but it's not.
Which, like, is cool. I'm happy with that, At least there's that much. For people that want to see it. But yeah, if you have Overwatch, you also get a free loot box with the holiday event that may or may not have a skin in it. Or it could just have duplicates of everything. Or just a spray.
It could be me and end up with just a bunch of sprays.
Yeah, I got 3 duplicates. And I got a victory pose for Junkrat that is him smoking what looks like a firecracker or a small stick of dynamite. Like a cigar. Like he's holding it by his mouth like a cigar. And it could be a Lunar New Year thing. I'm not sure, because that's kind of Junkrat's MO anyway. So it could just be a standard Junkrat pose. I don't know. Anyway, I got it out of the loot box, which was pretty great. Heroes of the Storm, though. Alex, you've been playing that today a little bit. So what's up with that?
The rooster race at the start of every match is really, really hard. To the point where it's, I feel like it's almost impossible unless you have a like a coordinated team, because you have a very small amount of time to collect various items in the spawn area and deliver them to the rooster in the correct order. And if people don't know,
wait,
how
there's like a correct order too?
Yes. There's at the top of the screen, it'll have the countdown and it'll show which item the rooster wants. And if you bring the rooster that item, it progresses forward one step. But people don't really know how it works yet, and the timer's so slim that like it'll show like, oh, bring in a piece of gold bullion, and somebody picks up like a flower. It's like, oh, I'm just gonna give it to the rooster. It's like, he doesn't want the flower, so you've just wasted the flower, and he still wants the gold. So it's like, if your team is not coordinating and doesn't understand what's happening, you're just not gonna get it done.
Oh boy. Do you think it's something that people are going to figure out before the event is over with? Because it's like a 3-week event, right?
I think they'll figure it out. But even when your group knows, like, even if your group knows how to do it, the timer's still super slim. So, like, if the third item, because it can also repeat items. So you can't necessarily pick all the items up and wait to turn them in. So it might be like, okay, I want a flower and then a firecracker and then another flower. But if the flower spawns at, like, the opposite side of the starting area, so you couldn't have like picked it up the beginning and bring it close, that might eat up your entire timer.
Oh boy.
So it's a tight timer where everybody has to understand what's happening, and random spawn locations could still screw you. It's so much more difficult than the previous event things where like, oh, just kill a treasure goblin or pick up some things so the SCVs don't steal them or whatever. Like, those are all really easy. This is pretty tough.
Okay. But there's also new skins available, too, for the Lunar Festival, right?
Yeah, Lunar Li Ming and Lunar... Li Ming and the Monkey King for Samuro.
They both have themed attacks, right? Along with the skins?
I think so.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought Li Ming, she had like a thing where she was like shooting fireworks and stuff instead of the usual array of spells.
Neither of them really interested me, so I didn't look at them too closely.
Right.
I don't have Lunar Li Ming. I already have a Li Ming skin. I have Striker Li Ming, and I limit myself to one skin per hero because I can only use one at a time.
Which one is Striker?
When she's a volleyball player.
Okay, I thought so, but I wasn't sure. Yeah.
And that one's cool. It's like, okay, I have my Li Ming skin. I don't care which other ones they add. I have the one I want.
Okay.
That's my limit. One skin per hero.
All right.
Okay. That's pretty much it, except, I mean... Well, I guess we've talked about Overwatch and Heroes. We've talked about Patch 7.2. I guess we could talk briefly about the AQ mini holiday.
It's already done and over with, but yeah, the AQ, the first of the micro holidays, was done over the weekend, and it was basically a recreation of the opening of the gates of Encourage, only not quite, because it was mostly just collecting stuff and turning it in for points. And then whichever faction had the most points, they get like banners flown or something like that for the rest of the year until it happens next year. Part of me was kind of hoping that we'd see some sort of like invasion event type thing on the scale of the original one where the Colossus dudes.
So we can crash all the servers again?
Yeah, because that'd be great. It'd be authentic. No, I was kind of curious if we'd see anything like that. We did not. The other thing to point out, too, for people who have been waiting for it, I believe Nighthold LFR Wing 1 opened today, correct?
Should have. Today's Tuesday, right?
Yeah, today's Tuesday.
It should be Mythic and Wing 1 should be opening today.
So if you've been waiting for... Yeah, if you've been waiting for Nighthold LFR, go get it. It's there.
And the next micro holiday, by the way, is next week, Tuesday. It's the Kirin Tor Tavern Crawl.
Oh, boy. Is that next Tuesday?
Yes. I missed the Call of the Scarab, so I was like, I should look up the other next one real quick.
Oh, yeah, it's the last day of January.
January 31st, Kirin Tor Tavern Crawl.
And that one is, I don't think that there's anything major involved with that one. You just go from bar to bar and drink some stuff. It's a tavern crawl. That's what it is. With the Kirin Tor, it's apt to be a good time.
So, yeah, basically,
the Kirin Tor, they don't seem to really care about this whole Legion invasion thing. Like, all the silly stuff in the expansion, it's the Kirin Tor's doing.
Well, they pointed us at it, and then they were like, yeah, okay, you guys are handling it, right? Cool.
Like, I'll be over here drinking.
Yeah, like, y'all aren't taking this very seriously. What's going on?
It's weird because at the same time, if you're doing the Suramar questline, the insurrection stuff, they're pretty heavily involved in that.
Yeah, they are.
But so on the one hand, they're being real serious over in the battlefront, getting ready to invade Suramar City.
Maybe the ones that are doing all of the drinking and the barrels and the things like that, those are the ones that, like, flunked out of their classes, so they're just doing extra credit right now.
Do you remember in Wrath, there was that drunken mage in the sewers that gave you the Kung Lush recipe?
Yes.
Maybe he has, like, a high rank in the Kirin Tor now. Like, they promoted the drunk, and now he's like, let's play cup games. Let's go to the bar.
We lost a lot of good people in the Nexus War.
I'm graduated. We could get. Graduated with a master's in Kung Lush.
You know, they do have to conjure food and drink, so maybe that is in fact something they do.
Maybe.
But all right. I guess at this point we move on to emails because, you know, that is what we do here on the show. If you have an email for the show, please send it to podcast@blizzardwatch.com and put Blizzard Watch in the title, in the subject line, so we know, basically we know it's for this show, because we have another podcast. So it helps us get everything straight. And, you know, you guys have been pretty good about it lately, so, you know, keep it up. But, you know, try and keep the emails reasonably short so we can try and get them all read and on the show, as many as possible. Anne usually reads for us, so she's going to do so for now.
Okay, first email is from Gaddis on Ravencrest EU, who says, "Hello, gang. So we know the holy dreadlord called Lothraxian. So my question is, if you think that he's similar to the normal dreadlords in that he goes to the twisting nether if he were to die. Awesome work. Regards from Gaddis on Ravencrest EU."
I don't know.
Where do holy dreadlords go when they die?
First of all, holy dreadlord sounds like something Robin would say if he was suddenly thrown into Legion.
Holy dreadlord!
But, yeah,
holy dreadlord's Batman. You forgot the Batman. It's essential.
Batman, yeah. Well, I was trying to think of the Azeroth equivalent of Batman, and I couldn't think of anybody right off the top
holy
of my head.
Holy dreadlord's Khadgar.
There you go. Okay.
No, Khadgar's not Batman.
Khadgar's Batman.
It's two syllables. It's two syllables. It fit.
So sore fang. But anyway, no, I honestly, I have no idea. Like,
wouldn't that be a bummer? You, like, you've redeemed yourself, you're a holy, like, you're paladin and all this, you're part of the army of the light, and you die in battle, and all of a sudden you're in the middle of, like, everybody that you've left behind. I
mean, does the Twisting Nether have, like, a spawn point? Would they just spawn camp him?
I don't know. I'm just thinking, to me, it's similar to, did you ever watch Disney's Hunchback of Notre Dame? You know, when there was, like, the old dude in the stocks, and he, like, accidentally got let go, and he's like, I'm free, and then he trips, and he falls into another set, and goes, dang it. Yeah, okay, so is that what Lothraxian, is that what happens to him after he dies?
See, here's the thing, this is what, about the whole idea of Lothraxian in the first place. We've seen an awful lot in World of Warcraft about how you can be corrupted when you did nothing wrong, and, like, just because someone exposed you to enough evil, you get corrupted. Like, you know, now you're... And it's just like, is Lothraxian the holy light equivalent of that? Like, did he get redeemed, or was this forced on him? Like, is he forcibly brainwashed by the light to think, you know, now I'm good? And if he, like, died and ended up back there, we'd be like, oh, thank God, guys, I was forced by this horrible outside force to do sickening, benevolent things. Oh, that's horrible. We're going to kill you a lot now just to make sure. I understand. I would, too. Yes, of course. Torture for everyone, especially me. You know, I don't know. I have no idea how this works. I don't know if Lothraxian dies if he just, instead of going back to the Twisting Nether, he goes someplace lighty, or he goes to the Twisting Nether, but he's still full of light. And
or maybe if he's not a demon anymore, maybe he just dies.
Maybe he just dies. Maybe the Naru take him somewhere.
Yes.
Or wherever the Naru take people.
He turns into a wind chime. I don't know. You know, he starts talking about Great Illidan. I don't know.
We don't know anything about this guy, frankly.
He's the only one we've ever seen. So, and the only other, like, anything that we've had kind of even remotely like him was the Satyr that was out in Ashen Vale, where you redeemed him and he turned back into a night elf.
Yeah, I don't think dreadlords are a species that turns back into anything. I think that's
right.
So I don't,
because he's not cursed. He's just a dreadlord. But this now he's a good dreadlord. So, yeah, good question. We don't know. Sorry, Gaddis. Okay, next email is from Steel Belly, a Pandaren warrior who has an excellent name, who says, "Hey, guys, your conversation on transmog made me think. Do you think they should add some kind of function or system for quote unquote lobbying to have missing transmog pieces added to the game. There are a few missing pieces that they've added here and there. The ICC Heroic 25 Warrior set boots are in the new Violet Hold, for example. But I think it's a glaring error that a lot of pieces simply aren't in the game right now with no way to bring attention to them. Thanks for the podcast, Steel Belly.
I put this email in because as soon as I read it, I spent several minutes going over Violet Hold.
Yes.
And looking at the boots, all the play boots, going, this don't match Warrior Tier 10 Heroic, until I finally realized it's not normal boots and it's not Mythic boots. It's only the Heroic boots.
Yeah.
But the Heroic boots do match Warrior Tier 10.
Heroic 25.
Yeah, they're from Heroic 25. They're Tier 10.
Okay.
The Tier 10 boots. And I'm so angry. I could, like, go mad. They put them in Violet Hold. Violet Hold.
Your favorite place to be.
I'm going to have to run Violet Hold over and over again because I have that set, except for those boots. And I've had that set since Wrath. I didn't even have to, I had to farm the pants. I never did. But everything else, I have that set, and there's no belt or boots, and now they put the boots in. They didn't put a belt in yet. Thanks,
guys.
Maybe
they did, and it's just hiding somewhere, and you haven't found it yet.
Thank you. I needed that in my life. But yeah, it's quite maddening. But in terms of them having a system to lobby for stuff, sure, we could use that. I think they know we want things, though. I don't really feel like we need, like, what system would it be? Like, you know, a box somewhere? I could just type in, you know, I could open the transmog window and just open and type in, give me this piece. I mean, I'm not sure what you mean by a lobby.
You click on the box, it gives you a piece of paper, and you fill it out and you drop it back in the box.
So what, like in Stormwind, there'd be like an actual box to turn
into? Like by the transmog vendors, like it's the transmog vendor like suggestion box. Like, hey, you know.
Only it's all glowing and purple and ethereal.
We think it would be really cool if we had like a pizza party once a month and they read it. They're like, we're not responsible for that.
We don't do pizza. We're incorporeal. We're held together. We're beings of light and void held together by bandages. We don't do pizza.
We'll take that under advisement, I guess.
We'll think about it the very, very day it becomes relevant to our interests. Yes.
But I think this place exists and it's called the Forums.
Yeah.
That being said, you know, it would be nice if they added more stuff like that. I mean, the fact that those warrior boots have obviously existed this whole time, but weren't in the game.
Yeah.
Like, or one that always drives me crazy, and I remember, like, Anne and I were running this raid at the same time, so she'll remember a lot of complaints about it. They made no shoulders for plate classes.
Yeah.
There were no shoulders. If you wanted shoulders, you had to get your tier set, because there wasn't a single pair of Cataclysm was the no shoulders expansion. Like, I remember that was like a running theme. McCurley and I would complain about it literally every week.
There were just no shoulders anywhere.
It was just like, you know, seriously, if you want shoulders, you know, if you were doing Firelance tier and you wanted shoulders, you had to get your tier piece, because there weren't any for anybody else. It was like they had one set of shoulders and they were tanking shoulders. I think they were probably healing shoulders. There was nothing for DPS. If you wanted shoulders, you had to get your tier piece. It was so strange. And they really should. If you've put together like a lookalike set from Firelance, you don't have shoulders. Like, there's shoulders that just don't exist. So I really feel like that kind of thing, we've talked in extensive detail before about like lots of pieces we would like to see them added. But just in terms of, yeah, there's lots of stuff they should add. I think they should keep, as much as I'm not thrilled to have to go back to Violet Hold now.
Now you kind of want to, because that's where the boots are.
Think about like all these dungeons that you might be willing to go back to. Like, imagine if they made, you know, like if they actually made an Oculus time walking and you're already going, oh my God, no. But then they put in that piece that you don't have.
That one piece.
Yeah. There's lots of stuff like that out there.
Domehammer in the chat channel says, I want the Scholomance sets added back. Yes, me too. That is, they were removed back when Cataclysm came out. Well, yeah. Mists of Pandaria. When they did the revamp to Scholomance, they took out those class or the little. They were small blue sets of gear, and yeah. I have a few of them, like a few bits and pieces of them right now in my wardrobe from the few characters that had gotten bits and pieces, but there are so many that I'm missing, and I can't get them again. There's no way.
Like, when they did this like in other ways, like they did it with the Zul'Garub gear.
Yeah.
There was Zul'Garub gear.
Those original, the Spider-Man plate.
Yeah, they put that back in. On people who just dropped random greens in Pandaria, trolls that you would fight.
Trolls on the Isle of Thunder. Yeah.
Yeah. Not just on the Isle of Thunder. There were wandering groups that you could also try and get a mount off of.
Right.
And those guys dropped.
The Warbringers.
Yeah, they dropped.
Dude, those guys were so annoying. Leveling an alt after they added those, and you're just like questing and questing. And then just a random max level elite troll walks by and just like, you're dead now.
Yeah.
This is it. This is your life. You're dead.
But as much as that was annoying, they did actually have the CG pieces on them. So you could kill them and get those pieces, including stuff like the polearm drop that you can't get anywhere anymore. Like there was a polearm, the Halberd of Smiting, that you just could not get. And then the same model now drops off those guys. So they do that sometimes. And I definitely want to encourage it. I don't know if, like having, I don't know what the lobbying system would be. Like, I think Alex is dead on that. That's just the forums. Just
kind of have to go there and mention it. Cause I can't see any other, unless they wanted to like add some kind of feedback box to the transmog interface, but that would just be weird. I mean,
there is
the forums exist for a reason.
There is an in-game, I think, suggestion box under the customer service, but I would be shocked if anybody looks at that because you know dumb crap they probably get.
I think your forums would probably be the best bet. I don't know. I know that I think the European forums added a section for transmog. I want to say that they did. I don't know if the U.S. forums has a section for transmog. I haven't been to the forums in a while. But yeah, bringing it up there is probably your best bet because that's where it's going to get read. And that's where people, if other people are looking for the same thing, then they're just going to upvote the heck out of that and go, yeah, and while we're at it, how about this thing? You know, maybe that's the place to do it. Anyway, thank you for the question. And also thank you for cueing Rossi into the fact that he's going to have to go through hell now.
Oh, we're going to Violet boots. Hole. We're going to Violet Hole this week.
No, we aren't.
Oh, yeah, we are. I can go on tanking
sugar
strike.
Ma, why?
No, Sugar Ma. Anyway.
It's going to be heroic, too.
Our next email is from Shad, who is a Blood Elf Pally from Hyjal US, who says, the Suramar questline, specifically Elisan part, seems to be a retelling of Ezshara's betrayal of her people. This would make sense, given the last 2 years, which have been a retelling or incorporation and sometimes a retconning of previous lore. Also, what is most likely to break your sense of immersion and enjoyment that you think could be easily fixed? Proud Patreon supporter, Shad, Blood Elf Prop Pally, proud reason for all wipes for Wolves of War, Hyjal US.
I don't want to do any spoilers here.
Yeah, please don't, because I haven't finished the Suramar stuff yet.
But I don't agree.
I'm working on it.
Because
yeah.
Elisande's motivations are entirely different.
Yeah.
Like, love Elisande or hate her, and Elisande does have a lot of negative qualities.
Yeah.
But she's no Ezshara.
Like, no, she's like opposite end of the spectrum, really.
This is somebody that if she could figure out a better way,
she would have.
Yeah. She just doesn't see it. And there's stuff in the raid and stuff that happens before you get to the raid, like when you're doing the quest. So that I'm not, again, not going to do spoilers, but stuff that talks, that ties into like why she does what she does and how she does what she does. That's very distinct to her. And this is not somebody who's like, I'm so great that the only people who can possibly be as good as me are a Titan.
Yeah.
Demons.
Like,
yay.
Elisande is like, how do we survive this terrible situation? I don't see any other way out. Whereas Ezshara was like, Sargeras, he sounds hot. Let's party.
Yeah. Possibly less like that. But
Ezshara,
yeah.
The Paris Hilton. Galderay society. No, I think Elisande, there are reflections of things that are happening in Suramar and the way that people are treated in Suramar that obviously point to the fact that the Legion is not a good thing. But Elisande didn't really have a choice. She didn't have much of a choice at all. It was go ahead and let them do what they'd like to do and try and work with them, or everybody dies. And she just spent the last 10,000 years making sure everybody was alive. So the last thing she wants to do is, you know, destroy all of her people. Is it a terrible choice to make? Yeah. Was it the right decision? Probably not. But what were her options? How many options did she have? So I don't think, you know, in Ezshara's situation, it was very much he showed up and said, hey, I've got all kinds of power. We want to rebuild the universe in your glorious visage. And she was like, yeah, sure. I am so on board with that. It wasn't a matter of her people's survival. She didn't care about her people's survival, like in the slightest. She was perfectly okay with the Legion running around culling people that were kind of inferior and didn't belong in Ezshara's perfect vision of the world that was to come. She was okay with that. Elisande is not, it's not the same thing. It's just, it's not the same thing.
And if, you know, in Thalissera is turning things around now, but if Elisande wasn't there to play the role that she is and be that kind of ally with the Legion, Suramar probably would have been just wiped off the map and Thalissera wouldn't be alive to ask for help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like there's a delay tactic involved that Elisande maybe not, intended, but that's how it played out. That Suramar has been there long enough for us to show up and help because she sided with the Legion.
Yeah. And to answer your other question about what's the most likely to break my sense of immersion, a quest where I'm suddenly talking to a Murloc and doing weird Murloc things.
Obvious quests, pop culture reference.
Obvious pop culture reference at this point don't do it because I've seen so many of them. But suddenly turning into a Murloc baby and spitting bubbles at crab people while being cheered on by another Murloc baby, I'm sorry. This it feels like they failed to read the room of the rest of the expansion. The entire rest of the expansion is like, demons are coming. Demons are here and we must fight. And then there's... Okay.
Maybe it was the same person who decided to, like, make the Kirin Tor a bunch of drunken dudes that like to count barrels. I don't know.
I suspect it is, in fact, the Kirin Tor.
It's all the Kirin Tor.
It's that drunken guy that Alex mentioned in the sewer. He's got a thing for Murlocs. Him and King Murgle got together, and it's like, why are you here?
You know how there's, like, 8 or 9 schools of magic? There's the one that they don't mention. It's, like, the forbidden 12th school.
The party school.
It's the school of debauchery. Like, we don't talk about that one, but they're everywhere. They're everywhere.
Total party school. But, like,
yeah, the pop culture stuff, it's like, you could have told, like, a cool story here, but instead, we're just, like, watching your version of a movie, but it's bad. Just tell a good story instead of giving me, like, Harrison Jones again or whatever.
Like I said, there's pop culture references that I'm fine with, like Toshley Station in Burning Crusade, where if you know it's a pop culture reference, you know it's a pop culture reference, but if you don't, it's just a bunch of gnomes out in middle of nowhere, and it's fine, because why wouldn't gnomes be there? There have been various ones throughout the years. Bud in ZA was not a good one. He was very distracting.
That was terrible. Like, they took the entire story of ZG and just made it weird redneck people. Yeah. What?
I didn't. ZA, ZG guy. No, Bud was at ZA.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
Whatever.
I didn't...
Whichever one. Whichever one at Zul'jin, right? ZA was Zul'jin?
Yeah.
Zul'aman? Yeah, that was Zul'jin.
Yeah. So Zul'jin himself is like a character from... Like, he got a place in Heroes of the Storm, because he was, like, a major figure in Warcraft 2. He was a major Warcraft figure, and when he finally got to Zul'aman, like, oh, they're going to do something awesome with this guy. They got this amazing trailer, like, something's going to go down, and now it's just Bud's crew. It's like, let's get treasure. All right.
Okay.
That's what you want to do?
I don't know. I loved ZA, personally, but...
I love ZA as an actual series of encounters, but... I never really thought about the story of it because there really isn't much story to it. Like, I mean, obviously you want to stop Zul'jin just because the guy's real mad and he's not going to... I liked the whole, I spit on the Horde bit. You know, I thought, you know, of course he'd be mad. The Horde, you know, comes to him, asks him for an alliance. He agrees to it. And then they let the Blood Elves in.
I don't know, man. That ZA trailer is still one of my favorite trailers from the game. Yeah, like, that very end where he goes, we gonna bury you here. I'm like, every time. It's fantastic. I love that trailer. I love that dungeon. Cool. I love that raid. It was one of my favorites back in the day.
But yeah, it's pretty... There's stuff that does break my immersion. I honestly feel like... I don't know. I don't know how you could actually easily fix the Murloc ones except not to have them. And I guess some people like them, so...
I like them, but so, I'm weird, so, you know.
Everybody's weird. Everyone has something they like that other people don't like. Like I've said, one of my favorite additions to World of Warcraft is when they add something I can ignore.
I don't know.
It makes me so happy. Brawler's Guild, I never go to it. I don't care about it at all. Yay, add more stuff like that.
Brawler's Guild is one of those things where it's like, I go at the end of the expansion when I've run out of things to do and go, oh yeah, that thing is here. I'm going to go do that thing. And then I get really into it. But as far as immersion goes for myself, I don't know. Maybe I just don't look at the game through the lens of being immersed in it so much as I just like reading everything there is to read. And yeah, nothing really kind of knocks me out of it. There's some stuff where I sit there and do a double take and go, I'm sorry, what am I doing right now? But nothing. And most of it is Murloc stuff. So
I know what the one thing this expansion was that completely shut me down.
What?
When you're in Thunder Totem in High Mountain and you go around a corner, you're looking for drums and you run into a room and there's that paladin with the two unconscious Tauren ladies.
Oh, yeah, Marcus.
Oh, that, the romance novel guy.
I wouldn't say that broke my immersion so much as I just straight up was like, what the?
What just happened here? No, never mind. I don't want to know. Yes.
Yeah, that guy right there, that's like
Marcus? Marcus took, Jonathan.
Yeah, that took me a couple minutes to get my head around.
He graduated head of the class from the School of Debauchery. I mean, he's a paladin, but before then, he was part of the Kirin Tor. Little known fact. Anyway, our next email is from Zam, who says, Dear Watchers, have any of you tried out the dynamic cam feature yet? It changes the camera perspective from directly behind and above your character to an over-the-shoulder view. It's only available through the console commands right now, although there is an add-on for it, and it takes some adjustment to get right, but it really changes how you see Azeroth. It's a pretty cool feature that I recommend if you're looking for a new perspective and experience in WoW. Sincerely, Zam. I didn't realize, I knew that it was there and then they took it out. I didn't realize you could still access it with the console commands.
I think they turned off the option because either people were accidentally turning it on or it was accidentally being turned on.
It was like on by default or something, yeah.
And I don't like it. The way it wiggles around, no, I can't do it.
My problem with dynamic cam is my same problem with like Skyrim and Fallout. I don't like a first person or close to first person perspective. I like to be able to see my character and the area around them. I actually like the game up and behind me a bit. I don't want it that, you know, dynamic cam isn't first person, but it's right there. And it's much more, you know, like you can kind of see part of your head, like at least the time I had it on and I was desperately trying to get it to turn off. So I don't like it. It's not really for me.
Did that thing where, like, if you clicked on an NPC, the camera would move to, like, focus on the NPC. And just, like, that much camera movement.
Yeah.
Kind of makes me want to barf.
It feels like a movie where they're, like, you know, they're trying to do dynamic cinematography with the camera, but it ends up just shaking it a lot. That's kind of, I'm not a fan. But if it's your thing, cool. If you play a lot of Skyrim and that's the perspective you like, cool.
I haven't seen this in action yet, but now I kind of want to try it out just for the purposes of taking screenshots to see if I can get some extra angles out of it, because that sounds fascinating. So
it'd probably be great for like just going around the world.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you just wanted to like do a video where you rode around and showed people stuff, that would probably be great. I can't play that way. Like, you know, it isn't for me.
Okay. Well, we've got time for, I think, one more question here. This is from Annalise, human paladin on Moonguard, who says, Dear Oglers of the Storm, which I actually really like that title.
It's kind of dirty.
I feel bad for storms now.
Oglers of the Storm.
Yeah.
What is the best glitch you have ever personally seen in World of Warcraft? For instance, I just finished a Skyreach instance where the druid tank's travel form glitched while the healer was riding him. For the rest of the dungeon, the healer could heal while riding on the bear tank's back. Thank you for all your hard work, Annalise.
My favorite one.
I want to go last so I can see if you guys get mine.
Okay.
Okay. My favorite one was when Death Knight Death Grip would glitch if the Death Knight was standing on a boat. So, for example, if you were standing on the boat in Booty Bay and you death gripped somebody that was on the pier, the game didn't know where to put the person who was gripped. So they would fly to like the default like boat location, which was underneath,
shot across the world,
which was under Hillsbrad. So you would start in Booty Bay, you'd be death gripped, and then you were just being thrown through the planet, just flying through the void until you reached the boat underneath Hillsbrad. And you got there and you were just like, what the hell just happened? I love it. Nothing will top it.
That one was pretty great, actually, now that I'm remembering that one. Because, like, I may have done some exploration in my time when I was, like, a player back in vanilla on my baby characters. So a lot of those glitches and things are things that I've done. Like corpse hopping so that I could go see old Caverns of Time before the Caverns of Time were ever a thing. That was an accident, though. I went up to the Caverns of Time, the door at the Caverns of Time, and there was a dragon there, and the dragon murdered me. And when I went to go get my corpse, I realized I could run through the wall. I didn't try rezzing on the other side. I just ran in as the corpse and went, whoa, what is all this crazy stuff down here? There was another one that was very deliberate, where if you took a mage into the dead mines and then you used Blink to get back out of the portal, you could fall through the world. There was a spot where you could jump off and you'd fall into an ocean far below anything else, and then you could swim, and there was this place with like floating emerald trees. This all sounds like some really bad trip, but I swear to God it was there. And I have screenshots from it still somewhere. So a lot of the glitches that I liked were all very much, they were exploration glitches. Getting into Old Hyjal involved rock climbing, like any of the hopping, what did they call that, Alex? You know what I'm talking about.
The walking on terrain stuff?
Yeah, the wall climbing stuff, but there was a specific term for it where you just like hop up the side of vertical walls and things like that. I got very good at that. And this was all, I think it was just like this, my favorite glitches were the ones, they were all exploration related back in vanilla when you couldn't fly. There was no way to get to the places to see the things that you hadn't seen before unless you figured out how to get there. So, yeah. Rossi?
Well, Alex got the one I was going to say.
Okay.
Which is that, but...
The slingshot.
Because that was one of the most...
It was pretty crazy.
I had a Death Knight at the time, and I immediately went and tried that out as soon as someone told me about it, and I was like, oh, God. I am like a god as long as I stay on this boat.
I took a friend down the Booty Bay, and I didn't tell him what I was going to do.
Oh, no!
I took a friend down there. I'm like, hey, I want to try something. He was like, all right. So we duel, and I death grip him, and he just types into chat as he's soaring through the planet. He just writes... What have you done?
But one of the ones that it wasn't, I don't know if this counts as a glitch or just a slight exploit, but this happens several times. There's several places in the world where you could do this, where you could basically, you could get feared, or you could like charge was notoriously weirdly buggy in very specific circumstances. One of the bugs is because of the thing called the desync bug, where you, this was way back. I don't know if it still has it, but you charge at something and then the world would go away. Like the world, actually not the world, just everything in it. Like you'd still be in the world, but all the animals and stuff would be gone. And you would be alone in a completely empty Azeroth because it desynced you. Like you were now not in sync with the rest of the server. Or the other thing the desync bug did was it would kind of like, you charge and you take the strangest path imaginable. Like I was trying to charge to you and you're across a body of water, like a river or something. And I go sideways. Down into the river, back up, kind of around a tree, and then to you.
So, Rossi, you might appreciate this. Varian in Heroes of the Storm has charge. Mm-hmm. And so it works pretty much like WoW's charge. That you hit charge and on your target, and you'll just travel in a straight line to him. But if anybody uses abilities or ultimates that like create terrain, like Leoric's Entomb creates walls... Mm-hmm. Varian, you can still use charge because it considers, okay, you're still in range with this person, use charge. But then he will just zoom off in random directions to try to navigate this thing. So, like, depending on how much stuff is in the way, he might just travel up to a different lane and around and all the way back down again instead of taking that straight line. Yeah. It reminds me of old charge and WoW.
But the thing is if you use charge properly, and there's other ways to do this. And I think Anne and I went and did this one at one point. But if you did it at Stratholme, you could do this in a room charge, and you'd end up underneath Stratholme.
Yeah, I took you there.
Yeah, you took me there. But you could do this, like, back in the day with charge, you could do this. And I did it not at Stratholme. I did it in Stormwind. I charged a rat in Stormwind for no particular reason, just wanted to get a little faster, so there's a rat over there. I charged it. I ended up under Stormwind. And back in the day, WoW looked three-dimensional, but it really wasn't.
It was kind of smoke and mirrors.
There's a lot of camera tricks to give you the impression. Stormwind was actually like a movie set.
It was flat. It was like there were flat pieces. You can still... There was a glitch that happened when I was in Eversong where all of a sudden my flying mount could actually fly. And I flew over Silver Moon City and got some photos. I got some screen caps of Silver Moon City, what it looks like from above. And it's the same thing. It's the same principle where everything is like... You could see it. If you fly from Silver Moon to the Isle of Kel... Kaldanos and you look over to where Silver Moon is at, you can see it in action where there's like these flat panels that suggest depth without actually being there, like solidly there.
Even in New Stormwind, there are some places, I don't know if they fixed them, but like as recently as the Legion pre-patch, they were still there. Some of the buildings in Stormwind are like two houses kind of smashed together to make a bigger house. And where the rooftops, like where the seam is, you can slip in between them. And if you slip in between, you drop through the buildings and you get into like the innards of Stormwind.
Yeah.
And it's still like that.
I did this back in the day and I ended up in old Stormwind, like in Stormwind, when it's basically underneath Stormwind, but there's nothing. It's a giant flat plane. And you can like run and you can basically go under, like back then you could go under the stockades and look up and see the stockades rooms. And you could do this with the other dungeon that wasn't in the game. There was another one that was like out on another island. It had like an instance portal and two guards in front of it, but you couldn't go in because there was like a gate in the way. You could run under that and look up and see the rooms.
I think
basically what I'm saying is pretty much all of our favorites are either yanking a dude halfway across the planet and or
exploration. Exploration glitches.
The boat in Stone Talon. The boat in Stone Talon was awesome too.
Oh, yeah, God,
they all kind of involve getting where you're not supposed to be under the game world and ruining the whole illusion.
Ruining the immersion. That's the best way to ruin the immersion. Go someplace you should not be. Anyway, that wraps us up for emails, and that kind of wraps us up for the show, too. Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch, and your continued support means that this podcast site and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, a better chance at having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience.
Thank you very much, Ann. This has been the Blizzard Watch podcast. If you have an email, please send it to podcast@blizzardwatch.com and put Blizzard Watch in the subject line. That way we know it's for us. Thank you guys very much for listening, and we will be here next week.
Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage of the French Open begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.